Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how is your energy psychology? How do you feel about yourself? What is your nature of your thinking? And what is it based on? And perhaps there are energies involved in this thinking that's more than your mind. And so to help you work on yourself better, we're going to be talking with a wonderful guest who's been on the show many times before, who is an energy psychologist. And so he knows how to apply energy to the things that are psychologically bothering you and physically bothering you as well. So I'm so excited to talk with Steve Gottlieb again. Steve, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Oh, thanks so much, Peter. You know, it's always a pleasure being here with you.
So, what is the difference between psychology and energy psychology?
I guess the simplest way to put this is most people are used to thinking of psychology in the form that is typically offered, which is talk therapy. So talk therapy would be using your mind to sort of look at your experiences so that maybe you can eventually reframe them and understand them differently. And there's also things like cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a similar way of trying to really rethink a problem and look at it from a different point of view. But all these things are using your intellect to try to solve a problem. When you think about something that's problematic that might have the roots in an emotional disturbance from a trauma, an actual traumatic event, that traumatic event had a real influence on your neurophysiology that got imprinted in your cellular memory. So every time you talk about it, the disturbance that was created by your actual experience of having a trauma is now active. And by talking about it, there's no way you can talk your way out of it. There's no way you can think your way out of it because it's an experience that is as real to you as anything else is. But that experience is being reflected in the current moment in an energy form that represents what that experience was. And this is all going on in the various.
Your line just froze for a few seconds.
Okay.
I didn't hear the last thing you said.
What happens when we are talking about a traumatic experience and we're having emotions arise as we're talking about that? Basically, we're turning back on not so much a suppressed memory, but we're reactivating the memory of the trauma as the brain encoded it. And we cannot solve that problem by trying to talk our way through it or even understand it. We need to be able to do something to send new energetic signals into the neurological pathways to give the brain permission to reorganize itself around that so that it's free to be able to talk about traumas and no longer feel any kind of psychological, emotional disturbance of it in the present, because now it's truly in the past.
It's interesting because many times in my life I've had bad experiences and unhappy situations where I get caught up in it, and you know, it just, the emotions are overwhelming, and the only way I used to deal with it was to go out for a run and pound the pavements and really, you know, slap the road hard with my feet, and I'd come back and I'd feel very different about it, and you know, it would just have a new look that wasn't as troublesome to me.
Yeah, if you think about it from the way our physical body deals with stress, and stress is really an overlying term that encompasses the fight, flight, or freeze response that is part of our inherited neurophysiology is designed to protect us. When we have a strong enough emotional reaction, there's a part of us that says something's wrong here. So it's really the equivalent of a stressful state. And if you go out and you run, which is sort of like your happy place, Peter, it's going to relieve a lot of that stress. And with the stress gone, your normal cognitive processing is free to be able to work again.
But I wasn't running because running makes me happy. I was running because I felt I needed to pound out my body, my feet on the road. And somehow I left the issue on the road.
Yeah, but think about it from this point of view. You changed the state. You were sitting around feeling very emotionally upset about something, so you changed your state. You went out and did something different. So you use physical input to change your physiological state. And with your physiological state being different, your brain is firing in a different way.
Right, so that might be what we can call energy psychology.
Well, in a way it is. Energy psychology is a way of understanding that the problems that we think we have cognitively or emotionally have their roots in some form of an energetic disturbance that is being actively felt.
Yeah, and a lot of our history holds the energy of unhappiness, let's say.
Sure does.
And so you could say, well, these are just thoughts. No, but if they were just thoughts, you wouldn't be upset about them. You could be intellectual about them and say, oh, you know, I'm thinking of some bad things in the past. But then why are they possessing you so much?
Well, going back to your question about conventional therapy, psychotherapy, again, we're trying to use our mind to solve a problem which is not a mental problem. It's a problem of emotional energies.
Right, and a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't understand what you're saying.
That's the point. A lot of people trying to solve problems, not realizing that there are tools available to open up to see the root of what the problem is, which is an energetic disturbance that you refer to. And when we work at the level of resolving the energetic disturbance through whatever somatic methods we have, finding the pavement or EFT tapping or breathing or whatever it is that we might do to change our state while we're processing those psychological emotional disturbances, then we can actually make a neurological shift. And from there, we can experience a cognitive shift, which allows us with our higher mind to be much more aware of what the truth is going on by releasing where we're stuck. When we're in an emotional state that is really distressing to us, we have to be aware that we are in an emotional state that is very distressing.
Right.
That awareness alone can do a lot of good.
I remember years ago when I was working with the Lightfield machine up in Massachusetts, which is you'd be rolled into it and then you'd be surrounded by harmonic energies for 45 minutes. And we found that more than anything, it was helping people de-stress their emotional struggles.
Yeah. Emotional struggles seem to follow a pattern. And if we don't interrupt the pattern, they become neurophysical habits. We sort of attune to that stress state until it becomes normal, and then we're running around being all stressed. So as soon as something comes along that bothers us, it could trigger us into a place where we're aware that we are being psychologically or emotionally distressed.
And a lot of times we're caught up in distress, emotional distress, that we can't even imagine climbing out of.
Right.
You know, because, we're stuck in our personal horrors and don't know what to do other than, well, maybe, you know, pound a pillow or scream or hug a tree. I don't know. There are different ways of trying to get this nasty feeling out of us.
Yeah. Yeah. But think about that process. If you understand that there's a nasty feeling that's got a hold of us, and we have a device like pounding a pillow and screaming, we're using it intentionally to get us out of that negative state. It's not trying to think about how to solve the problem. We're literally using our awareness of the fact that we're experiencing what we feel is a problem, and we're doing something to change our state. And that gives us the relief, at least temporarily, if nothing else. And if we know that we can do that every time we're upset about something, then we have something that we can use to help us.
And I think we just need to change our perspective, and by in other words, becoming aware of the state that we're in. Recently, I was very upset about something, and someone suggested to me that, you know, that you're on the wheel. And as soon as I heard that I was on the wheel, I knew it wasn't the right place to be, and I needed to step off it. It didn't change the circumstances at all. It just changed that I was no longer riding the merry-go-round.
Yeah, maybe we should flesh that idea out, Peter, because it's a great metaphor for what I think entraps people in their psychological emotional problems, which they don't even realize are the problem. If you take a simple example of something that bothers you, I very often, when I teach people about EFT for the first time, if I'm treating somebody who has a real problem, like a cancer diagnosis, I don't want to jump into that right away. I have to give them some metaphors about how we can use EFT to help us resolve things that we feel are a problem. So I'll ask them to think about something that upset them over the last week or so. And when you go back to that, you can recall the events of something that caused you to be upset. And when you do, you might also hear yourself talking about what was said or what was done or what you perceive what was the problem. And you might actually start feeling that disturbance a little bit. And when I teach them how to tap on the body while we're going through our awareness of that disturbance, the disturbance goes away. And what you realize is that that's something that happened that I was upset about, that I'm no longer upset. Where before we tapped on it, we could still feel that we're upset about it. Now it's like, oh, well, okay, all done with that. So if we're not aware that we get caught in these traps and we start to obsess about it, then all of a sudden we're on a merry-go-round, on a wheel that we don't even realize we could stop and just get off, you know?
But even worse than that is about being stuck on the wheel, is that a lot of diseases are psychosomatic. So in other words, our mind in its upset is causing our body to dysfunction. And the brain, in order to actually protect our minds, will stick an upset into the body in some disease function. And there are schools of healing that know how to look for those patterns of upset and dismantle them, and all of a sudden the disease seems to melt away.
Yeah, well, you know me well enough to know that I really want to delve into that, and I'm sure we don't have the time to do it today. And I want to stick with the idea that when you have a cancer diagnosis, let's assume you've already been dealing with enough stress in your life that actually might have gone into the dysfunctional display of a cancer symptom. And now you have a whole lot more stress. So at the root of the stress is what we were talking about before, the automatic engagement of fight, flight, or freeze. So it's is all fear-based. So we're taught to think that, oh, well, you know, maybe all that's well and good, Peter, I got all those problems, but now I got cancer and I might die. So what am I gonna do? So that's the most stressful thing that's happening, because it's fear in the moment. And even though we think the cancer diagnosis we should be afraid of, we can dismantle the experience of fear by doing some forms of energy psychology intervention, which will at least take us out of fear long enough to be able to gain our resources to the point where now we can hopefully manage the problem as it presents itself without all the extra problems of thinking we have another problem to worry about.
Right, and perhaps our immune system is limited by our stress. And the more that we can de-stress, the more our immune systems come to our support. You know, I remember this one woman who I interviewed on the show who had an unbeatable cancer. And she tried everything. She did every possible technique possible. And she realized, she said, I can't beat this cancer, so I'm going to stop trying, and I'm going to go on a big trip, maybe around the world or whatever, and enjoy myself all I can, and that's all I can do. And she did, and when she got back from her trip, her cancer was gone.
Right. So some people might dismiss that as a placebo effect, and of course the placebo effect shouldn't get such a bad rap. But when you surrender to the point, well, there's nothing that I can do about this, it puts you in a completely different state. Now, when you said perhaps there is a connection to the immune system, there's no perhaps about it. This is absolutely scientifically validated fact that when you're in a state of stress, your immune system shuts down. And I can give you a very, very simple example of why nature built us to be this way. If you are being faced with a saber-toothed tiger that wants to eat us for lunch, your immune system doesn't have to be working on your diseases. It's got to pump blood into your muscles and shut off the thinking part of your brain. And then when you're done resting, you can recover and the immune system comes online. So we know that now.
That last sentence you froze on, so I didn't hear what you were saying.
Ah, when we're in a state of stress, the immune system is not operating. So stress becomes the number one thing that we should learn how to manage in order to optimize our immune system's functionality. That is absolutely scientifically validated. It's infeasible.
Yes, and so that's why energy psychology is so important, because it goes after the stress factor and dismantles it.
Well, certainly for the people I'm working with cancer on, that's the first thing I try to convince them. That no matter what problems they're dealing with, stress is the biggest enemy right now, because you want to optimize every process of your body's natural ability to heal itself.
Right. And it can. There are a lot of spontaneous remissions. And so we can't always give up hope. We have to actually find ways of translating the stress of not only our psychology, but of our body, to change its choices.
And we can participate in that process by becoming knowledgeable about the fact that we do have choices. When we're on the wheel, we're stuck in a psychological, emotional dilemma that we feel has us trapped and we don't know how to get off. And once we step off the wheel, then we can work on our resolving our level of stress, even if it means I don't know if I'm going to die or not. So at least I might as well give myself a sense of living life with a purpose while I still have the chance. And you never know. We might die. We might not die. That might actually be the thing that flips it all around. What medical scientists don't understand, spontaneous remission, although they can't refute it because it happens. Those of us who have a deeper insight as to how these things are all connected, have a better understanding about how that can happen. And it does happen.
Right. I think to better understand the whole disease process is really valuable, because it's so based on confusion and fear.
Yeah.
And, it's like, I mean, how many times can you have a diagnosis that just all of a sudden shakes you up to can kill you, that can kill you itself?
Yeah, well, the diagnosis itself is a traumatic event. Now we're getting back to dealing with trauma. So when you've lived a life full of trauma, nobody gets out of this world without trauma, but some people have experienced more trauma than others. And then when you go through your later parts of your life where you've had all kinds of various different experiences and disappointments, perhaps, about things, and then other things come along that have nothing to do with you that cause even more stress, eventually it's kind of like the straw that breaks the camel's back. And it could be that our physical process, our immune system that's holding everything together, has a little bit of a defect. And it no longer can maintain the rightness of the ship, and our natural ability to achieve homeostasis has got a clink in the armor. And is there anything that we can do to understand how to reverse that process? That should be our primary focus. And that's what I use energy psychology for when I'm dealing with people with serious disease.
And one question you probably ask people is, how do they feel about death? If you're so afraid of dying, you're going to add more stress to your disease.
Yeah, and a lot of that stress is due to the fact that people are going to leave people that they love, or that they might not see their children, grow up and get married, those kinds of things.
I agree.
So it becomes psychological, emotional distress.
Yeah, because I'm not afraid of dying at all. I just don't want to leave. It's too exciting here.
It's interesting, put it that way.
Yeah. Oh, and and I love my family so much. And so I want to be there. Not that we can't see them from the other side. It's just that we're not that participatory that way.
Well, too many of us don't understand that that's a real possibility. So unless you have that actual knowing from an actual experience, that, you know, it's just a belief that, oh, I'll see him on the other side. But part of us, the rational part of us says, is that really true? So when we try to express something that we want to believe is spiritually true, there could be a part of us that is going, I'm not quite sure I buy into that. And it creates what energy psychologists call a psychological reversal. When we affirm what we want to be true is being negated by a subconscious part of us that questions that. And you can actually measure it by muscle testing or other means that the brain, the energy of the brain is now shifted to a different place. So right. That when you try to use positive affirmations or positive imagery, if all of your energy isn't in the line with that, there's another part that's there that is taking you out of the state of empowerment that you actually want to be in. So there are techniques that we can simply use to reverse that psychological reversal back to normal, deactivate it. So when you say something like, I know I can be whole and healed, there's not another part of us that says no. And that's what I do.
Yeah, you can ask somebody, can you feel whole and healed? And then you muscle test them. And if they test weak, then you know that they can't support that statement.
Right. So an energy medicine practitioner will go and look at the energetic signs that they have knowledge of how to influence so that they can correct those patterns that are dysfunctional patterns, because they're not holding the truth of what it is that's their greater reality, what they really want. And I know how to do that, and you know how to do that. And once I find it, there's a very simple EFT script that I use to reverse these problems. And when we're done, we muscle test them again. And all of a sudden, that problem is gone. And the person feels a lot more empowered that when they say these statements that they want to affirm as truth, they feel a lot more real to them.
And their muscles show that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that. You know, what's wonderful is that you have so much experience now, so many years and decades of doing this, and have had to use this in very different circumstances, that you become very wise about it. And so I'm very excited that you have this body of knowledge and experience in you that can help people who really need that.
Yeah. Thank you, Peter. I appreciate that.
So if people want to get in touch with you, what is your website or an email, et cetera?
My email and phone are listed on the website. It's not a very modern website. I apologize. I mean to get around to fixing that, but it's still there. It's called empoweryourtrueself.com. It's just those four words together, empoweryourtrueself.com. And people can reach me at empoweryourtrueself@gmail.com, where they can try giving me a call at 914-997-7873. I'll talk to anybody about anything, and all my initial consultations are complimentary. It's a privilege to talk to people.
Wow, that's beautiful. You know, it's a relief, you know, talking with you about how people can bring themselves out of their dilemmas energetically, so that it might not change the dilemma so much as changes where they're coming from about it, so then they are empowered to change things.
Absolutely. And neurophysically, we understand why that is. I mean, once you shut off the stress response, then your own internal resources are turned back on. It helps you solve problems, because your problem, quote unquote, the thing that you might be upset about, might actually be a thing, but when you add the additional layer of psychological emotional disturbance on top of that, it almost becomes neurologically impossible to solve the problem because your mind is turned off. You're running away from a tiger that's trying to kill you, as opposed to sitting and thinking logically, rationally, even if I don't know what the answer is, how can I put myself in a place where the universe will provide me with an answer that maybe I could never have expected?
Yeah, I love that. I call that serendipity and synchronicity. And the universe is really so helpful and handy. And most of us can't think that way because we're too stressed out to call on, let's call it higher help.
Yeah, yeah. Because we're stuck on the wheel and we're internalizing the problem and forcing ourselves to try to think our way out of the problem when the problem is energetic in nature. When you resolve the root of the energetic problems, you free yourself to be able to be open up to a lot more help, whether it's coming from your own internal resources or you believe that you're now open to allowing the universe to flow its energy into you to work in your favor.
And those are the ideal clients to have, are people who do believe that there are forces in the universe that are supportive.
Yeah, and it's hard to believe that when you're in psychological pain.
Right, because how did we get here anyway? If there's support in the universe, then why are we in such trouble anyhow?
Right.
But a lot of it is because we've never asked for help. And the more we continue to not ask for a higher help, more we dig a deeper hole.
Yeah, and it's hard to do that, you know, when we come from a place of fear. So when we're praying for things, we have to understand the nature of prayer. And it's not just, please help, unless, of course, it's really genuine. And the fact that you're allowing that plea for help is an act of total surrender.
Yeah, I love that we have to give up. You know the old saying, give it up to God, you know.
Yeah.
And however you want to interpret that, I think it's helpful just to, you know, call on.
Right. But in the meanwhile, we're humans having a human experience. And the more we can introspect our way through understanding what it feels like to have psychological, emotional distresses and understand that there are very effective and simple tools that we can use to just deal with that aspect of it, then we free ourselves to be more human in a much more positive way.
That's wonderful. Steve Gottlieb, it's so great talking with you, and I'm thrilled with what you have to offer and how you can help people. So thanks so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. It's always terrific with you.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at prn.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.